Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I think we need to focus on two areas. The first is South Africa's inflation data that came out last week for February. It surprised on the upside, but I think it's the breakdown of that surprise that is important in terms of understanding South Africa's underlying inflationary pressure. The second topic is to have a look at recent interest rate developments around the world. Certainly March is a big month in terms of central banks meeting to discuss interest rates. And last week we had the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, Mexico, Brazil, the Swiss National Bank, a range of central banks all making interest rate decisions, and I think it'd be useful to unpack some of that detail. So let's start off with South Africa's inflation data for February. It surprised on the upside, increasing by 1% in the month, certainly higher than what we had expected. And what that did was to take the annual rate of inflation up from 5.3% to 5.6%. And obviously that's come in at a time when the Reserve Bank is trying to get inflation anchored at the midpoint of the inflation target, 4.5%. And clearly it comes just ahead of the monetary policy meeting this week. Now, what caused that 1% increase? Well, some of it related to the petrol price increase. During the month of February, petrol price went up fairly substantially, and obviously that contributed to the increase. In fact, it contributed 0.2 percentage points of the 1% increase. So it explains effectively 20% of the increase. But the bulk of the increase in the month was related to the category called miscellaneous. Now, that is a very unfortunate naming because it's anything but miscellaneous. And within that category is medical aid inflation. It's a fairly substantial portion of that category. And unfortunately, medical aid inflation went up very substantially in the month of February, taking the annual rate for medical inflation up to 12.9%. Now, if you look at the level just prior to that, it was sitting much, much lower at just over 7%. So a huge increase in medical costs. And obviously, some of that is explained by the fact that medical aids try to keep price increases under control during the COVID era. And I guess to some extent, this is catch up for that phase, although catch up at 12.9% seems excessive from my perspective. It's also coming at a time when interest rates are elevated and where the consumer is already under significant pressure. We can see household disposable income declined for all of last year. We know that retail sales are under pressure. And at this stage, a 12.9% increase in medical aids is clearly extremely unhelpful. It's also telling us that interest rates don't have much of an effect on these sorts of price increases. You can't argue that high interest rates will bring down the cost of medical aid. We've had high interest rates for quite some time, and yet the medical aids pushed up their price increases by 12.9%. So it's suggesting that monetary policy is reasonably ineffective in directly controlling things like medical aid inflation. And that leads us to the important discussion, I think, with regards to South Africa's inflation rate overall. When we break down our number, it remains inside the inflation target. It remains reasonably under control. But when you look at some of the key subcomponents, it's clear that administered prices are elevated. So take, for example, water inflation. At the moment, that sits at 7.9%. If you look at electricity inflation, that's 15.2%. And now you've got medical aid inflation at 12.9%. Now, when you've got these categories with an inflation rate well above the top end of the target, then it's very difficult for the overall inflation rate to average around the 4.5%. In order to achieve that, you would need the other components to be exceptionally low. And how realistic is that? You would need, for example, food inflation to be closer to 0%, clothing inflation, a similar number. And so it makes the job from the Reserve Bank's perspective extremely difficult because there's certain elements of the inflation basket that interest rates are ineffective in controlling. You can't argue that if the Reserve Bank puts up interest rates, then somehow Eskom is not going to put up prices, or that the water inflation won't be elevated. Those price increases relate much more to the cost of infrastructure and the need to develop those areas of infrastructure in South Africa. And clearly that's expensive, and we're going to see ongoing price pressure within those categories. So what does the Reserve Bank do about it? I don't think there's much they can do about it. They can't sit and hold interest rates at an exceptionally high level in the vain hope that somehow electricity inflation is going to come down. Yes, they can worry about the second round effects of some of these price pressures, but at this stage they are effectively pushing the economy closer and closer to a recession and not really seeing huge gains in terms of getting inflation more under control. And I think the Reserve Bank's going to have to accept that achieving 4.5% as an inflation outcome is a little way off. They're going to have a more robust discussion with government around administered prices broadly. And they're going to have to then, I think, try and find a way to cut interest rates, relieve the pressure on South Africa, even though inflation is not quite at the level they would ideally want. And I think it's one of the byproducts of the South African construct, where these price pressures are determined by a range of other factors other than general economic conditions or even the demand for those particular services. And so I think we're going to have to live with this environment for a while longer. I think we're going to have to live with inflation being probably somewhere between 5% and 6% on a sustainable basis, and that while getting inflation down to 4.5% is an admirable target and it's something we should ultimately try and achieve, it's going to require a much more comprehensive discussion and understanding about policy than simply adhering to strict monetary measures. The second topic I think we need to discuss are the recent interest rate decisions around the world. Now, March is quite a big month in terms of central banks deciding on interest rates. And I guess the biggest is the Federal Reserve. So last week, the Federal Reserve kept rates unchanged. There's nothing unusual about that. But what they did signal was they still expect to cut interest rates 3 times this year, starting in June. Now, the reason why that's interesting is that more recently, US inflation has surprised on the upside. Both the January and February data was well above market expectations. And there was some concern going into the FOMC meeting that the Federal Reserve would signal a more cautious approach to monetary policy. They didn't do that. What they signaled was that everything remains on track. Yes, the economy is still doing well. The labor market is still relatively strong. But even though inflation has surprised on the upside, that hasn't been sufficient to deter them from continuing on the path of interest rate reductions. And that sends an important signal around the world, and certainly the Reserve Bank in South Africa will be paying careful attention to that. At the same time, the Swiss National Bank decided to cut its rate. It hasn't cut rates for something like 9 years. That was, I guess, a bit of a surprise in the market. And the Swiss authorities are suggesting that inflation has been brought well under control and that their currency is too strong, and hence they've commenced with their own interest rate cutting cycle. The Bank of England also met last week, and what they signaled was a more dovish outlook. They didn't actually change interest rates, but the voting spread within the MPC in the UK suggests that they are much closer to a unanimous decision to cut rates, and you would at this stage pencil in a June interest rate cut out of the Bank of England. And even though the ECB is not meeting at the moment, when they last met, they also signaled that June was the likely start date for their interest rate cuts. And so the message coming back from the major central banks is that they are getting closer to the start of a global interest rate cutting cycle, and that realistically that probably starts around the middle of the year. It's also interesting to have a look at what emerging markets are doing. Just this last week, Mexico decided to cut rates, Brazil cut rates, the Czech Republic cut rates. And in fact, when I counted it up, 22 emerging and developing countries have cut interest rates this year. And so it's clear that many emerging markets are moving ahead with their own interest rate cutting cycle, even though the US hasn't commenced. Clearly, if the US doesn't end up cutting interest rates this year, then many of those emerging markets will start to feel very vulnerable and they're putting their currency at risk. And again, that's something the Reserve Bank will be very mindful of. From our perspective, it's clear that we should be starting to look at cutting our own interest rate, but the Reserve Bank will want to get more confidence or more clarity that the Federal Reserve is about to commence their own interest rate cutting cycle. So it's kind of a bit of being patient, waiting and seeing. And once the US does start to cut rates, it opens the door for many other central banks to also commence with their own interest rate cutting cycle. So the next couple of months are going to be critical for the world economy in terms of the inflation data. Clearly, there can be significant disturbances that disrupt the inflation outlook. For example, geopolitics, disruptions in the Middle East, or even the Russia-Ukraine crisis could flare up. There's always the risk also that you have some sort of climate event that severely impacts crop production and therefore feeds into higher agriculture and food prices. So it's not without risk, but at this stage, you would be reasonably confident that the second half of this year will see many central banks commencing their own interest rate cutting cycle, and that sets us up for a better environment next year in terms of just generally the business cycle driven by lower interest rates. And for me, that's good news and something we need to focus on from a financial markets perspective. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.